Amen. Good morning, church. What a joy it is to be with you today. I look out and see that we have a number of guests with us this morning. My name is Andrew Roberts, and it's my privilege to stand before you and to share with you a study in the Word of God. I hope that you will have your Bible open to Philippians chapter 1, as Brother Ethan has read so well from our text this morning. And if you picked up a program on the way in, you'll find on page 3 an interactive outline that goes along with our study of the Scriptures. I hope that you've had a great week. I have to tell you that it was a beautiful week at the local college, Florida College. There was a Bible lectureship going on, and it was about the book of Exodus. And I had the opportunity to go there several days and see preachers from all over the country and catch up with friends and learn so much about God and His Word, and particularly the Exodus. And I actually have no doubt that in pulpits all across America today, there's a sermon about the Exodus. And I can't tell you how bad I'd like to do that too. But here was the problem. I kept running into so many of you all over the campus all week. I never get away with stealing. I mean borrowing those really good teachings. So we're going to have to do something else this morning. We're going to be looking at the book of Philippians this morning. And continuing in our series through Philippians, we are calling our series Worthy of Christ's Gospel. Worthy of Christ's Gospel. And throughout this year, Brother Edwin and I are going to take a Sunday a month to preach through the book of Philippians. Worthy of Christ's Gospel. Notice again with me from the reading, and Brother Ethan did such a good job, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance or the advance of the gospel. Here the Apostle Paul is writing this letter in prison, and he lets them know in part he's okay. And all of the seemingly awful things that have happened to him have actually worked out for the furtherance, for the advancing of the gospel. He is chained, but the gospel is unchained. The Apostle Paul understood his mission. His mission is advancing the gospel. And while some may have viewed these circumstances, and they're tough circumstances, right? Persecution, poverty, imprisonment, they are tough circumstances. But while some would have seen these circumstances as stifling, perhaps even stopping the advance of the gospel, they only serve to demonstrate nothing can stop the advance of Christ. Sorry, world. Sorry, devil. You can't stop the gospel. Obstacles only reveal new avenues for advancing the gospel. You might slow the apostle, but you're not going to stop the apostle. You might slow the advance of the gospel, but you're never going to stop the advance of the gospel. And that is true today. That remains true today. And what I love about these verses, we're going to walk through them together this morning. What I love about these verses, and what I want to share with us, is that we find here the map of the advance of the gospel. The map, the course it takes. It starts in one person's heart and life. The person we're going to take this morning is Paul, because he wrote the letter and he offers himself as that example. But it starts in one person's heart and life, and then through that person onto other hearts and other souls. That's the advance of the gospel in you, then through you. I want you to think about that this morning. Is the gospel advancing in you today? Is the gospel advancing through you to bless others and to save others today? Let's talk this morning about advancing the gospel. And where we're going to begin is actually toward the end of our reading. I want to draw your attention to Philippians 1, particularly verse 21. As we notice first, number one in the notes, the gospel advances in you. The gospel advances in you. Here again, the inspired pen of Paul. Philippians 1 verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two. Having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. What a dilemma. What an amazing display of faith. To live as Christ, but to die as gain. Now I want you to appreciate, that is not defeatist at all. That is not dark at all. It's actually quite victorious. Imagine writing it. Imagine writing it in the place of imprisonment. When your life actually hangs in the balance of the next time that you go stand before some governor or some king, and that governor or king has the authority to release you and set you free so you can go travel again, or to end your life, and you say, I am hard pressed. That's a tough one. I'm not sure which one I choose. I guess it's good someone else is going to make that call. Because to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Do you have that kind of faith this morning? Has the gospel advanced in you like that, filled you and transformed you, that you're just not sure where you'd like to be tomorrow morning? How is it that the gospel advances in you? How do we grow in faith to that place that we, like Paul, could be hard-pressed? Do I stay or do I go? And I believe the answer is really a little bit of review from our last sermon in the series. Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11, it's really about a spiritual growth. In fact, the Apostle Paul's prayer for their growth in Christ, that they would be abounding in Christ. You see, the gospel advancing in you is another way of saying that the graces and the virtues of Christ are abounding in you. He prayed for it. He prayed that their love would abound. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. But it wasn't just the love should increase in them. The love should advance in them. But also what? The knowledge, wasn't it? And may abound more and more with knowledge and with all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent. You need to keep learning. You need to put into practice the things that you know and to discern so that you know what is excellent, so that you are about the excellent things of Christ. And when you are recognizing what is good and what is evil, what is excellent and practicing it, what's your life going to look like? And so you'll be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness. That's a beautiful picture there, fruit. That's the evidence. That's what's observable, the fruit of righteousness in your life that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and to the praise of God. Ever abounding, ever growing, this is the gospel advancing in our hearts and in our lives. The gospel advancing in you. This spiritual growth realized. The gospel advances in us as we live by the gospel. And you see it in the Apostle Paul. The Apostle can pray for the church in this way. The Apostle can prescribe the growth for the church because he has been there, because he has done it. The gospel advanced in Paul. It filled him. It transformed him. Because the Apostle Paul practiced what he preached, look what happened. The gospel advanced in him, and what happened? Four highlights from the book of Philippians where we see the gospel advancing in Paul, filling him, transforming him, changing him. All right, four episodes. The first is this. The gospel advances in Paul, and what happened? What happened? He lost his past. Go with me to Philippians 3, verse 7. Flip the page. Philippians 3, verse 7. In fact, we'll even back up to verse, what, 5? Where he's talking about life before Jesus. He said that he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Look at verse 13, same chapter, Philippians 3, verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's practicing the gospel. He's living the gospel. The gospel advances in him and he loses his past. the good, the bad, the ugly. And he says it's rubbish. It's rubbish. But I mean, it was his life's endeavor and work, being a Pharisee, being zealous, keeping the law of Moses. There were some things in the past he's really ashamed of, the terrible sin, persecuting, terrorizing God's people. But whether it was good or whether it was bad, it was all in the past and it is done. It is behind him because of Jesus and the gospel. And so the gospel is advancing in him. And as I read that, I learn to look at myself and to ask the question, what in this world must I hang on to? What is it in my past or even in my present that I won't let go of to live for Jesus? That I won't call rubbish that I may gain Christ and live consistently with the gospel? And in that question, learn that that's the thing, whatever that is, that's the relationship, or that's that sin, or that's that habit, or that's that selfishness that is keeping the gospel from advancing in me. And when I can't advance, that's why I'm struggling to press on. But the gospel needs to advance in me. It needs to advance in you. We must press on. He's living the gospel. The gospel's advancing in him. And what does that look like? Second episode. He suffered chains. That's where we started, isn't it? In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 7. Philippians 1 and verse 7. He said, as it is right for me to think of this of you all because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. Here's the fellow who is imprisoned. He is chained. Verse 13 from our reading this morning. It has become evident to the whole palace guard, to the whole praetorium, and all the rest that my chains are in Christ. I'll be confident by my chains, or they grew confident by my chains in verse 14. The Apostle Paul, when he writes this letter, he is not free to move about the country. He's not free to do it. He is imprisoned, and it is not because of any crime. It is because of Christ. This is persecution. He suffers terrible persecution. And yet the gospel advances in us when we suffer persecution. If we continue with Christ, it is a refining fire. I don't know what you've experienced this morning. Maybe you've been slandered as hateful or mocked as ignorant because you're a Christian. Maybe you've been passed over for a promotion. Maybe you've been harassed at work for the truth. Your coworkers know you're a Christian. Maybe you have seen where authorities have busted into a church building to put people in handcuffs for worshiping Jesus. And not just in communist countries or Islamic countries either. All this stuff is persecution. All persecution in varying degrees. And I read that, and I see about Paul and his chains, and I learn that if I fear the persecution, if I flee the persecution, if I compromise to avoid the persecution, it's going to prevent the gospel from advancing in me. But when I suffer the persecution, then the gospel advances in me, and it must advance in me. I'll give you a third episode. He lived according to the gospel. It advanced in him, and what happened? What did it look like? I say, well, so far he's lost everything he ever worked for in his life and he went to jail. But there were some good things too, right? He learned contentment. Go with me to the end of the book of Philippians and notice chapter 4, verse 11. Go with me to chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He could write, I've experienced fullness and deprivation. And in ways that we probably have a hard time relating to, honestly. I mean, however full he was, he probably was never as full as you and I get to be when we open up the freezer. You know? And the kind of deprivation that he talks about. Whatever wants he experienced. Most of us have probably not known that kind of want. And yet through it all, he learned that his strength came from Christ. He learned contentment. And I read that, I begin to look at myself and ask the question, What is it that I covet? What is my greed? What is my obsession? Or what is my dissatisfaction in this life that Christ is not enough? I just got to have something more than Christ. And whatever that is, the ambition, the covetousness, the greed, whatever it is, you know, that's keeping the gospel from advancing in me. That's keeping me from learning contentment in the state I am. We got to check ourselves. The gospel must advance in us first. It must advance. Let me give you the fourth one. He learned contentment as he lived according to the gospel. The gospel advanced in him. He gained a son in the gospel. This is really beautiful. In the second chapter, he writes about Timothy in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. He gained a son in Christ. The beauty and the blessing of a spiritual family we gain in Christ. The Apostle Paul was, obviously so instrumental in evangelizing churches into existence, in winning souls for Christ, setting other people into gospel ministry like Timothy. But you know, we're never told if Paul got married or if he had biological children of his own. We don't know anything about that. But we know that he writes about certain ones like Timothy and calls them sons in the gospel, sons in the faith. We know how he writes about churches like the churches in Galatia. You know, he's like this mother in birth pains for them. Or the church at Corinth, where he calls that church, you're like my daughter, betrothed to Christ. I'm trying to do all I can to get you married off to Christ because he's a good man. It's interesting how he keeps taking all this different family picture, family imagery, and he applies it to his brothers and sisters in Christ. All right? He gained a spiritual family in Christ. And I learned that when I reproduce Christians and help people to convert to Jesus, that's the gospel advancing in me. Absolutely. And not only that, but I learned that if I am keeping Christians at arm's length, if I refuse to have close friendships with brethren, if I don't see them as family, that's an obstacle. That's keeping the gospel from advancing in me. As the gospel advances in me, then I see and I desire and I develop that God's family is my family. We hear a wonderful word from Brother Payne most often in the pulpit. Beloved. When you say that about your brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's true, that's the gospel advancing in you. Here's my family, my real family, my beloved family in Christ. Let's go back to that dilemma. Philippians 1 in verse number 21. Philippians 1 in verse number 21. If I live on in the flesh, this will mean, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed. I know that the gospel advanced in Paul. It starts in you because it led him to the place of this genuine dilemma. It's genuine. He says, I'm hard pressed between the two, to stay or to go, to live as Christ, to die as gain. And I just can't imagine greater evidence of spiritual maturity, evidence that the gospel has advanced in you than to be hard pressed about this issue. When it's hard pressed, do I stay on living another day or do I go and live eternally? Can I tell you that I understand this dilemma intellectually and confessionally? Can I tell you that I understand that that's the comfort and joy of being a Christian, that I know I do have a mission as a Christian. I need to live for Christ and I need to serve Him. And I do have a great comfort in the promises and hope of the Lord that when I die, I will go be with the Lord. It's wonderful to be a Christian in those ways. I understand it. I believe it. I preach it.
I teach it.
I don't know if I 100% feel it. The dilemma. Does that make sense? You know, can I honestly say I'm hard-pressed? Is it a genuine dilemma? In all honesty this morning, I'd be hard-pressed to say I'm hard-pressed. There's people that God, and it's not for awful, evil things either. I mean, I think about some of the precious people that God has blessed me with in my life. I think about my wife, and I think about my children, and I think I probably would like to see them another day and love them and serve them another day. Think about the church and many things going on in life, and I think I need to be here another day. God knows best. And then I realized, well, you know what, Andrew? You've got room for the gospel to advance in you. Just got to keep growing, and I want to get to this place. I want you to appreciate that this dilemma, this genuine dilemma, should I stay or should I go? It's really a dilemma about the best way to obey the greatest command. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, the Lord was asked, what is the greatest command? And you remember the first one is to love the Lord your God, all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And isn't that the challenge he's at right here? Wow, if I should go, I go to be with the Lord. And I love him, and I want to be near him. I love him more than anything. But if I stay, then I'm going to be loving my brethren. And that'll be good for them. And that'll be fruitful for them. And on the whole of the paragraph, and you may read a little differently than I do, but on the whole, I think he has a sneaking suspicion he's going to be released and go work with them some more. But if it's up to him, he says, I'm not sure which one I prefer. The gospel advances you to the genuine dilemma, hard-pressed between living another day and going to be with the Lord. Not because it's defeatist, but because it's victory. And the gospel advances you to the greatest gain, and that is eternal life. Oh, to be with the Lord is far greater. His personal faith and confidence in Christ sustained him. He knew that even if he died, he was going to be with Christ. My brother, my sister, are you there? Is that where you are this morning? We want the gospel to advance in us to this place. It begins here. The map starts here. The gospel advances in you. And then secondly, the gospel advances through you. We're going to go to the beginning of our paragraph now, back to verse 12, to notice number 2 in the notes, that the gospel advances through you. It starts in you, but then as it does, the gospel advances through you. Verse 12, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the advance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. I want to start right here, that the gospel advances through you to the people nearest you. Who was near him, physically, literally, at that moment? Soldiers, right? Some kind of guard who's like literally chained to him. It's an incredible picture. You know, if we could stand outside the window and peer in there, what you have is a man who probably looks pretty whipped and battered, the Apostle Paul, and then you've got this length of chain to a Roman soldier. And the role of that soldier is to make sure Paul doesn't ever break the chain and doesn't ever get free. But if we were to look at that same room through the eyes of faith, do you know what we'd see there? God's soldier is in that room. And he's mindful of chains of sin and sorrow and oppression. And they're not binding him. They're binding that Roman soldier. And he wants nothing more than to free that soldier of those chains. Though he is chained, the gospel is not chained. And he's preaching and teaching to all of these Romans, whoever comes by, the gospel of Jesus Christ to save them. The gospel that advanced in him was now advancing through him to the people nearest him. So then I ask, who's near you? Who's near you that you might share this good word with? Who is at arm's reach? There was a cute little cartoon movie this last year called Ron's Gone Wrong. I don't know if any of you saw that children's movie. It's actually kind of a little bit creepy because I watched the movie. I was like, boy, you know, that could really happen. And I don't often think that when I watch cartoons. But if you didn't see the movie, the idea was that someone had invented a little social media robot to be the best friend of the children. And it was the hot Christmas gift, as you might guess. All the children want to have their own little robot. And the rule of the robot was that it could never get, I can't remember if it was 3 feet or 6 feet, one of those, but could never get beyond the owner more than that feet. And so periodically through the movie, it's just the funniest thing, they project, the robot projects a little ruler down to the kids. Says, oh, I'm within the distance, I'm within the distance. And I look at that and I think, sometimes I can be so blind about who's even near me, who's in arm's reach, who's in earshot. Maybe I need somebody to just flash a little ruler down on the ground so I can say, oh man, I guess I ought to say something to that person. I guess I ought to meet that person. I guess I ought to try to influence that person for Christ, but I'm just so blind to it. Somebody could just throw the ruler down. Well, I mean, Paul literally had that with a length of chain. But the question remains for us, who are the people around you? Your kids, your family, people you see at a soccer game or a scouts meeting, the delivery people always showing up on the door and bringing you good stuff, a repairman. Maybe it's a next door neighbor, somebody in the dorm, someone in the apartment complex. There are people around us. And the gospel is supposed to advance, and it does advance through us. The gospel advances through you by your example to others. In verse 14, Paul starts with the people nearest him, but then check this out in verse 14. He says, most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Now, isn't that something? How the apostle reacted to his persecution actually encouraged and motivated other Christians to allow the gospel to advance through them. And hasn't that been your experience as well? Haven't you been so impressed with a brother or sister in Christ in the way that they persevered? Haven't you been motivated? When you have seen brothers and sisters in Christ who practice their faith and cling to their faith in dire circumstances, who hang on to that faith, though it is prolonged illness, who practice that faith, though they suffer slander or persecution, who hold the faith in the face of tragedy or sudden loss or sudden grief. There are just so many things that this world throws at us to try and stop the advance of the gospel. But your example and your example in that moment, it furthers the gospel. And for your brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to notice that the gospel advances through you by your communication. As you go from verse 14, you see that the people who saw his example, they became bold to speak the word without fear. Verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, some also from goodwill. But no, here's what I'm just focusing now. They're speaking Christ and they're preaching Christ. We'll talk about the heart thing in just a minute. Philippians, we see a couple things going on here. The first is speak the word. It's the first way. It's the obvious way. I want to influence someone for Christ. Use words. Speak to them. Speak to them about spiritual things. Invite them to worship. Invite them to a Bible study. Share a scripture with them. Plant that seed, but speak. You know, when all the church is speaking, that's the best thing. And here Paul got many more speaking, though Paul was imprisoned. Second thing I want you to notice, and why I use the word communication here, is because Paul's chained up. He can't go. But what does he start doing? Writing letters. Now, he wrote letters that were inspired, and they are scripture. I'm not inspired. I don't write scripture. But what a fantastic technology that if I can't go somewhere, the message can. I'll write it down and I'll send it. Again, obstacles only reveal new avenues for advancing the gospel. What we have today, wow. Access to communication technology that could be harnessed for the advance of the gospel. The podcast and podcasting. Daily sharing the word of God. Live streaming. Blogging, publishing, all the different social media. My point is this. We speak, but we communicate this message through so many channels. And that's advancing the gospel through you. So, number one, the gospel advances in us. Number two, it advances through us. But I want you to appreciate, it sure doesn't require us to advance. And that's where I'm going to talk about a couple of these heart things here, and the lesson will be yours. All right, number three in your notes, the gospel advances with you or without you. In Philippians 1 and verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains. But the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice. There's some stuff going on there about the different people who are now preaching and speaking boldly. What's going on in their hearts? And I begin to appreciate that the gospel advance does not depend on the personal perfection of the teachers and the preachers of it. And there may be some Christians who say, well, yeah, I want to share the word. I want to help the advance of the gospel, but I got to wait until I grow more, until I'm doing all of this perfectly. Then I'll talk about it. Well, Paul shows us that some preachers in his day, they weren't perfect at all, far from. And yet the gospel advanced. Regardless of the motives of the teachers. What did Paul say in verse 18? Christ is preached and I rejoice in it. The gospel is being preached. When the gospel is preached, when Christ is preached, that preacher, that teacher cannot make it false. The gospel stands true independent of wrong motives or other failings of people. And praise God for that. Praise God that my salvation doesn't depend on any man. Because men are weak, they're fallible, they're fickle, they mess up, they sin. Potentially, they disappoint and they hurt you. I will tell you that it is an amazing grace and an amazing responsibility that God has ordained to use men to share the gospel at all and to cooperate in his providence, to speak the word of God, to speak Christ, the gospel to others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, we are reminded, don't think you're too special. You are earthen vessels or jars of clay carrying this tremendous treasure. And part of that is so that all glory goes to God and not to any man. But we are not the saviors. No preacher or teacher is the savior. Jesus is the savior. And your salvation or mine does not depend on a preacher or a teacher and his perfection. Salvation depends on Christ, the savior. Salvation depends on the gospel. That's the power of God to salvation. Now look, I don't say all that to give hypocrites a pass. Hypocrites don't get a pass. Go back to point one. The gospel advances in you. It starts in you. Right? But here Paul says that some teachers were speaking Christ bad motives. Some had right motives. Some spoke from love, but others bad motives. Verse 15. Some speak from envy, strife. Verse 16. Some speak from self-ambition, not sincerely. Verse 18. They speak pretense. Well, you start adding those words up, pretense and not sincere. That sounds like hypocrisy, doesn't it? Doesn't use the word hypocrisy. But if you had to draw a picture of hypocrisy, right? That's you'd probably go in that direction. All right. What do other teachings say about the hypocrites? God sees them. God knows them. God will judge them. They had envy, they had strife, they had some ill intent toward Paul, ever how that was. But the apostle Paul rejoiced that regardless of the motives, the true gospel is advancing. They're preaching and teaching what needs to be taught. That is the gospel to others. But their hearts, their motives, their deeds may disqualify them from the gospel, even though the true gospel is advancing. That's incredible. And that's scary. But the gospel advances without me, the gospel advances without you. These teachers are proclaiming it without necessarily participating in it. At least it's not moving in them. Is the gospel advancing in their heart? It doesn't really sound like it. But selfish ambition is advancing in their heart. And God knows the hearts of men, and all things will be laid bare before God, who will judge. Andrew, why are you spending time on this right now? Spending time on this right now because the hearts of all the teachers and preachers and all of us are going to ultimately be revealed. And for some that comes sooner and for others that comes later. And there are sad times when we discover that a beloved and trusted teacher didn't have their heart straight. When a preacher embezzles the treasury and skips town, what was going on in his heart? When an elder steps forward and confesses infidelity and extramarital affairs, what's going on in the heart? When the Sunday school teacher pops up on your news feed, it's a mugshot. Sunday school teacher was arrested for DUI or some other awful crime. What was going on in their heart? Well, look, those hearts come to light sooner or later. Sin comes to light. And God forbid that when it happens, how do we respond? We say, it's a gospel fail. It's a church fail. It's a Bible fail. If he's a fraud, if she's a fraud, then maybe it's all fraud. And you wonder, can I ever trust a spiritual leader again? You wonder, should I even be part of a church? Let me encourage us to learn here that the gospel's truth and power and efficacy never rested on that teacher. And we may well go through a season of re-examination of the word and re-examination of doctrine and re-examination of the gospel to make sure that a false person didn't lead us down a false path or teach us a false gospel. But I'm going to tell you, we can do that because we have the word of God and we can go back to the word of God. We have the truth. When the gospel is preached, that true gospel, the teacher can't make it false. Conversely, when a false gospel is preached, that wonderful, sincere, precious, well-meaning teacher cannot make it true. This is Galatians 1. I cheat a little bit. I leave Philippians. But in Galatians 1 and verse 6, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And I'll just pause right there. Can you imagine someone of a better character than an angel? Who could be sincere than another, more sincere than another teacher coming along like Paul? Maybe even some guy claiming to be an apostle. Wow. And yet the gospel cannot be changed. You see, if the gospel is wrong, it doesn't save. It cannot save. Paul could not rejoice that some not gospel be advanced, no matter how great the teacher or the preachers appeared to be. It had to be corrected. It had to be stopped. The true gospel cannot be stopped or corrupted by evil hearts of men. A false gospel cannot be redeemed by the sincere hearts of men. The true gospel advances. Question is, will you be with it? Because it advances with or without you. It advances with or without me. Will you be with it? Will you genuinely be with it? And from your heart? The invitation of the gospel is to make Christ your Lord and to be added to his people, the church. When you confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God, turn from sin in your life and are baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Baptized and Jesus adds you to his church. This is obeying the gospel. Have you obeyed the gospel? You obey the gospel, it's in you, and then it advances in you. It grows in you as you learn and practice, and it changes you from the inside out. And as it advances in you, it advances through you as you are living Christ and living out your faith towards others. The example for those of like precious faith and the influence, the soul-saving influence to those who are without Christ. What happened when they followed the example of Paul? They got bold and they speak it. That's the map. That's the map of advancing the gospel in me, through me. And be serious about it because it'll go on with or without me. To live as Christ, to die as gain, and in all things, may the gospel advance. I appreciate so much your good attention. If you want to put the Bibles away and put the notes away, Brother Stephen's going to come lead us in a song. Really, the invitation
is given.
It is about the true gospel, the one we find in these scriptures, and that we respond to it in the way prescribed in these scriptures. That Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. He ascended to heaven where he reigns at the right hand of God over a people, his church. Are you part of it? Respond to the gospel. Obey the gospel. We'd love nothing more than to baptize you into Jesus this morning. And if you've made that decision, it's not one to be made lightly. If you've made that decision, then you're living the gospel now. Get rid of the obstacles and the impediments in your heart and life so the gospel advances in you and through you to others. If we can help you to baptize you into Jesus this morning or minister to any other spiritual need, we invite you to come forward and make the desire known as we stand and sing together. Won't you please come forward now?